Welcome to another episode of Comic Syndicate. Check them out at thecomicsyndicate.podbean.com and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. And now, here are your hosts, Josias and Adam.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Syndicate. I am your host, Josias. You guys can find me at For the Villain. You guys can find my boy, Adam, at Mem the Booner. You guys can find us at thecomicsyndicate.com. Guys, this is going to be a very special and fucked up episode, I think. We're going to do our regular show. Adam is here. He's a little tied up right now, so he's going to chime in with thumbs up, thumbs down, the choke signal if he's ready to call it quits. But this is going to be straight up normal show like we normally do, and we're going to get things started with shoutouts to you guys. This is going to be off of episode 100, Riders on the Storm. First of all, a very special thanks to David, to Johnny, to Sergio, to Sadie for coming to help us out. Co-hosting you guys, we miss you guys. We loved shooting the shit with you guys. It was a lot of fun bouncing off so many ideas off each other and making each other laugh. I think we laughed a lot. We were probably annoying. I'm pretty sure a lot of our listeners stopped listening after a certain point, but it was fucking fun as hell, dude. So thanks a lot, guys. You guys are always welcome back on. All right, the first person to hit us up was going to be at Captain_Midnight, Brian Apodaca. He says, congratulations to at For the Villain, at Mem the Beaner on 100 kick-ass episodes of their at Comic Syndicate 1 podcast. Here's to another 100 more, at least. So very cool. Thanks, Brian. You've always supported us. You always plug us on all the sites, dude, and Twitter and Instagram. So we appreciate the love, and we just want to support you back, homie. So thank you. Next one's going to be at Aussie Yugi Ed. He says, I can't wait to hear the 100th episode of at Comic Syndicate 1. I'm just wondering why they chose to record outside when it's raining. So that one was a great question, Ed. It wouldn't be a Comic Syndicate podcast if something fucked up didn't happen, dude. And of course, it being our 100th episode, of course it was going to rain, man. It's kind of like that Guns N' Roses song, November Rain, you know? So it's you can't have the good without the bad, and we still made it work, I think, dude. I'm still kind of scared to listen to that episode because I know it was bad, but I had a lot of fun coming up with the questions for the guys, and I'm glad the guys enjoyed the questions more than anything. So Ed, hopefully you enjoyed that, and I did get your message earlier. Adam and I got our Stanley Kamikaze media passes last week. We are going to be there, and we need to hook up with you, man, so let us know which day you're going to be out there. I can, you know, tell you what panel I'm at, or if I'm walking the floor, and we can hook up from the beginning to the end, man. Let's do it. Next one's going to be at Comical Podcast, Justin Corbett. Congrats to my buddies at Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain on 100 episodes of at Comic Syndicate 1. So, Justin, thanks a lot, man. I spoke to Miguel for his birthday yesterday, and he told me some stuff that was going on. I hope everything goes well, man. My thoughts, prayers are with you guys always, so much love to you guys. Next one's going to be from our boy again at Comical Podcast, to Miguel Garza. Hey, vatos, I wish I was in Cali so I could have a beer or two or three or four, whatever. Who's keeping count? Congrats, primos. Always a great show. And he says, hashtag I hate my voice. Welcome to the club, homie, because I hate my voice as well. All right, next one's going to be L_Sadie, one of our co-hosts last week. It was off of one of the pictures that one of us had posted of us recording. And he fucking wrote on Twitter, we look like the Real Housewives of Gotham. So I thought that was fucking hilarious, Sadie. Thanks a lot. And I know Sadie's going to be doing a podcast soon with his boys. I believe he's going to call it The Goon Room. And his boys are fucking cool as hell. I'm pretty sure it's going to be funny and just fucking a good podcast anyway. So once you're up, dude, let us know so we can give you guys our support. Next one's going to be at Spectre_Vision. This one was fucking cool. Jonathan, I love this, and it's very much appreciated, dude. Listening to at Comic Syndicate 1, hashtag Riders on the Storm. Nada, hashtag wedding for at Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain. So I'm sad. And then he makes some laughing faces. We always love that one, dude. Next one, he continues. He starts answering a bunch of our questions that we asked, the hashtag 25 questions. He said, Shredded Wheat, POV, Kaiser Soje, Scarface, Joker, Heath Ledger, Landing Strip, Flare, Thundercats, Figs, Big Butts, Smell, Ninja, and then he asked about if we're going to make some Comic Syndicate patches. He asked the Nerdbong Radio Network, which is where you guys can find us too, nerdbong.com. Those guys are awesome. Jonathan, we haven't tossed out patches yet, dude. I'm a beanie guy, so I want to get some beanies, maybe some hats made next, dude. So I'll keep you posted. patches would be cool, stickers perhaps, but yeah, dude, you guys let us know what type of shit swag you guys would wear, and we'll try to hook those up for you guys. Next one's going to be at Lupe 01219. Read this in case you doubt its definition. For fucking, this was one of the words, actually. One of the questions was, would you rather be a fluffer for gay porn or a semen collector for a horse breeding facility? I was apparently, did not know the definition of fluffer. All the guys, the whole crew, nobody wanted to look up fucking Google fluffer, so... I thought it was just, like, fucking hand jobs and shit. Apparently, no, because Lupe Googled this. This is what she found. And it says, fluffer, noun, a person in the adult entertainment industry whose job it is to give male porno stars blowjobs in order to get them ready to perform. So off of that definition, I would have to say, I would rather be a fucking, someone who jacks off horses as a semen collector, because apparently you have to blow dudes, and I'm not down with the blowing of dudes or giving them hand jobs. But I guess if we have to choose one or the other, at lesser two evils, I guess. Next one's going to be at Wonder Bad Girl Lisa, dude. Very cool. This one was awesome. Congratulations at Comic Syndicate 1 for the villain at Mem the Beaner, episode 100. I would like to give a thanks to Joe and Adam for taking the time to have the at Comic Syndicate show. And thanks to everyone that was there the day of the 100th episode. The show was great. I doubt it. I have been listening to you guys for a year now, and you make my day when I listen to the show. Yep, I fall behind sometimes because life gets busy and then I have to binge listen. But that's all right. So thanks again and keep the show going. You guys are awesome. So Lisa, those are the ones we appreciate the most, dude. We've gotten great compliments, great feedback from you guys. We always love it. And it's great, dude. Apparently, we are keeping it going. I had an interview today. I'm going to be working a second job today. So I went on an interview for a hotel, and as soon as I walked in, met the HR lady. Straight up, she had bitch face written all over her. And normally, on any typical day, I love having fun with people like that. Bad attitudes and just, you know, I'm like, okay, I can be a smartass back. But because this was an interview, I had to be extra, extra, extra polite and bite my tongue a little bit. I think I won her over by the end. I had to sell myself. I mean, when you go to an interview, you have to sell yourself. And I guess I fucking whored my ass off like a little slut. But that's what I did. I think it went well. Adam started working this week. Adam, do you want to tell our listeners what you started? He said he's busy right now. He gave me the hold up a second. Okay, Adam started working for Amazon. So he's delivering Amazon packages. And he says he will tell us the story next week when you sure? All right, dude. We'll do next week, dude. All right, so thanks again, Lisa. Much appreciated. We love you. We love all you guys, dude. Next one's going to be Eric. Question, does eating vagina give you protein? The answer was you can get protein from eating vagina. The enzymes found in the liquid that a woman's vagina secretes contain a fair amount of protein, and if consumed by the human body, can be used as a supplement. So very cool, dude. I love eating women out. I love looking eating. And hold on, I just got a visitor from my arch nemesis. Now you would think it'd probably be, you know, Apocalypse or Mr. Sinister or the Joker. No, my arch nemesis is actually the fucking Ice Cream Man. So give me 1 second so I can fucking shoot his tires out real quick. Now I'm just kidding. Here we go. Next one's gonna be at Saint Comic. Now this one was very cool. At Comic Syndicate 1, I love the podcast and I wanted to introduce ourselves. Fresh from the Image Stable. So I was chatting with Saint at Saint Comic on Twitter. And it's a comic that they have out. I believe he said they're 7 issues deep right now. I love reading anything, dude. So if there's anybody who wants me to read something, I'm always down to do that. So that was cool to get that message from at Saint Comic. Very cool, man. Thank you. Next one's going to be, I guess, off of our Instagram messages from last week. A lot of people thought we were going to break up, and, you know, I posted after we cut the cake in half, like, this is the last episode. Because just the way the cake was cut in half. But, Adam, you know, it's not going to go anywhere, right? No, Adam just gave the thumbs up, like, yeah, word, this is probably the last episode. Thanks, dude. Next one's going to be at Paul T. Stevenson, dude. That's just, I want to give him a special shout out because he texted me. I've been calling, well, we've been chatting, text messaging each other. He lives in Buffalo, New York, I believe. and he does action toy art. So follow him on Instagram at Paul T. Stevenson. Very cool cat, way down to earth. And it was cool just to get that message, like, hey, dude, I heard the podcast. You know, and he always asks, like, how you doing? How's everything going? How's work? How's life? So we'll chit chat for a bit. And at the end of his text, he's like, I noticed you guys got a little emotional towards the end of the show last week. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I try to be a hard ass, but I kind of pussied out at the end. But it was just to give thanks to you guys. We want to give it back to you guys. So much appreciated, homie. We always fucking love shooting the shit with you guys. Once I get this second job, though, I'm pretty much not going to be reading anymore. No more news, no articles. So, again, this is probably going to be the last podcast, dude. So, hashtag last podcast. And, okay, guys, you guys can go to the Wicked Radio Network, where you guys can find us, the RenegadeRadio.com network. You guys can go to the NerdBong.com network as well. That's where we're at. We love those guys. Give them a listen, dude. And we're going to give some quick commercials. Adam, you want me to take this one this week? Okay, we have AudibleTrial.com. You guys can go to TheComicSyndicate.com. We have a banner for Audible Trial. You guys can sign up for 30 days, subscribe, and, you know, start your own subscription and read books, listen to audiobooks, and subscribe there. You guys can cancel after 30 days and get your money back, I guess. And then you're supporting the show when you do that, dude. So if you continue on, awesome. It's something I probably am going to need to do soon because no time for reading. And then also we have an Amazon.com banner as well. Adam gave me the thumbs down right now on the Amazon banner. But you guys, if you guys are going to purchase anything anyways, I jump on there occasionally. I don't purchase much of anything anyways. But I do go through our site. I know a bunch of our listeners have already purchased stuff. And we see our inflow little by little, what we are getting off of it. It's going straight to the show, guys. If you guys think running a podcast is free, it's really not. It's all on us, dude. We're paying to keep this going. You guys are helping to leave those when you guys subscribe or do any of those, so we appreciate it and we love it. So I believe that's all I got for Twitter love and shout out. So we're going to start off with a what the fuck news, I guess, dude. This is going to be under science. You guys can file it under Adam. Is this science news? Yeah, he said yeah, dude. All right, science news. Divers find giant floating blob, have no idea what it is. And this happened in, I actually will go through that right now. While underwater off the coast of Turkey, a group of divers encountered a translucent blob about the size of a car. Under fucking water. Trip out, guys. The blob felt very soft, diver said, and appeared gelatinous. From afar, the mass looked almost invisible, but up close, the group spotted countless little dots floating in the 13-foot sphere. All right, they're divers. How gnarly is that, guys? Let me know what you guys think of this article. Diver Lutfu Tranriover, who captured the blob, which he called the thing, quote-unquote, on video told the blog Deep Sea News that the group felt both excitement and fear as they approached the mysterious mass. Yeah, I would be excited, but I think I'd kind of be freaked out, dude. Now, I used to want to be a marine biologist. So, in college, that's the field. Well, actually, that was my secondary, but education was my first major, and yeah, I don't know, I just lost the passion to do that as well. But if I was a diver and came across this, how could it not freak you out a little bit, dude? And the fact that these motherfuckers are poking it is also a trip, but that's what they do. Even after close inspection, the divers say they couldn't figure out what the blob was. As Tanriover's mesmerizing video went viral earlier this month, the internet leapt at a chance to solve the mystery. Christopher Ma of the Econino blog ended up being the first to the plate. Ma said in a tweet that Dr. Michael Vecchione, a squid expert and scientist at the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History, had come up with a possible answer. The blob, Vecchione said, was like an enormous squid egg mass, the largest he's ever seen. Okay, so we have now somebody who knows what it is, or has an idea of what it is. And he said it's an enormous squid egg mass. So it's one of those giant squids, and I guess it was like a giant fucking, I don't know, dude, a giant jizz bubble is what it looks like, and that's what he figured out what it was. The scientists speculated that a squid called, Omastrophries bertrami, also known as the red flying squid or the neon flying squid, could be responsible for the mass. Red flying squid are a common species that grow to around 5 feet in length, Smithsonian.com says. Red Flying Squid, British Museum of Natural History, Wiki Commons. As Deep Sea News notes, only one other squid egg mass of such enormity has ever been documented. Interesting. In 2008, so this happened in 2015, the last one that where they found this giant jizz bubble was in 2008. To 10 to 13 foot egg mass laid by the large Humboldt squid, which, like the red flying squid, is in the Ostomastrophridae family, was found in Gulf of California that was contained. Between 600,000 and 2 million eggs. Wow. Okay. At that time, scientists said it was far larger than the egg masses of any squid species ever reported. Sorry, guys. As for which squid egg masses are so rarely spotted, Deep Sea News says it might be because of the depth that they are usually found and short of duration of time that it takes for the squid babies to hatch. These egg masses are likely found much deeper in the ocean and only occasionally drift to shallow water, the blog notes. Another factor is time. In the case of the 2008 mass, the developing squid just took 3 days to hatch. That's a pretty small window to find such a well-hidden target. Okay, this one kind of tripped me out again, because if anyone's a diver, and yes, you are a marine biologist, how can that not be freaky, especially if you've never seen that in the water? Now, these guys were touching it barehanded, and they said it was gelatinous, but, I mean, they're underwater, it kind of can't freak you out just a little bit, right, guys? So, interesting, definitely what the fuck, and I don't know, science facts that you guys can toss that under. Next one's going to be woman buried alive, funeral goers hear screams from the grave. Now, this one I'm going to contribute to at Eric Lopez sent me this one, and I'm like, this is fucking gnarly. This is interesting. And really, what the fuck, dude? And the whole article is honestly really what the fuck, dude. So, woman buried alive, funeral goers hear screams from the grave. A 34-year-old woman is now recovering from a most bizarre scene, one you only hear about in the movies. A Chicago family was grieving the loss of their son as they said their final goodbyes at his funeral. Police said it was unlike anything they'd ever seen. Reports say that approximately 15 minutes after the body of the man was laid to rest, the family of the deceased began to hear screams. This is a direct quote. "We decided to stay for a bit after the funeral to let it all sink in, when all of a sudden we heard screams. But we could not figure out where they were coming from," said one of the family members who wished to stay anonymous. "We realized it was coming from under the grave where we just laid my brother. We ran and got help." Okay. First of all, what the fuck, dude? I've been to too many funerals, and it's... how can this not be fucking freaky? What the fuck already, right? Okay, police say when firefighters arrived, they received permission from the family to dig up the freshly dug grave. As they did, the screams became louder and louder. We don't even know how long it took the firefighters to get there. All right, when they reached the coffin, they pried it open to find a 34-year-old Linda Lynch inside. Police say it was a twisted plot. The coffin of the man who was supposed to be buried was wheeled to the back, and his body was quickly removed after the service by the funeral director, Harold Lynch, at Thomas Height Funeral Home, who had attempted to murder his 34-year-old estranged wife. Again, more what the fuck, dude. Lynch had drugged his wife with arsenic and hid her in the funeral home, perfectly timing it with a scheduled burial. Oh, poor girl. The young man who was scheduled to be buried was found wrapped in a blanket in the funeral home basement. Lynch's wife is currently hospitalized in stable condition, undergoing an intense detoxification process. Lynch is being held on $200,000 bond and faces attempted murder charges. The Chicago family has properly buried their son. Okay, what the fuck on this one too? So, any of you guys, listeners, first of all, before we get to crazy guy and fucking lucky broad that she's still alive, what the fuck with, let's say you're at a funeral and you hear screams from a grave. What would be your first fucking reaction? Now, I think of myself as a hard ass, but if I was walking, you know, a cemetery and were to hear screams, I would freak fucking balls and probably piss my pants. Well, probably not that bad, but maybe run. I would need an object or something like, fuck, what the fuck is it like? Where is it coming from? It would definitely freak anybody out. Now, it's not like my first thought would be like, oh shit, well, the zombie apocalypse is finally happening. Everybody run. Nah, dude, I would still want the fucking something that I can fight or keep it at bay, whatever it might be. Now, the whole fight or flight scenario, you know, you always think that if you're caught in a situation where you have to help somebody out, unbeknownst of the consequences or what's going on, it freaks you out. So that's why they say when women get attacked, not to yell, because normally people run from danger. So that's the, you know, where I'm coming from on that thought. So first of all, what the fuck on? What would you guys do? Like, how the fuck would you guys take that? I want to joke and say I would fucking save the day. Nah, dude, I would be freaked fucking out, dude. They did the right thing and called the cops. The cops fucking showed up. Now, it's still bizarre what the fuck in this, because homeboy, funeral director, dude, drugged his fucking wife, dude. And what thought compels anybody to fucking, all right, this dead body, let me just move this and fucking, right, Adam? All right, Adam gave the thumbs up. He's saying, what the fuck? Okay, so buries that body. I mean, granted, he deals with dead bodies anyways. Maybe that's why it was so easy for him to do it, or just felt fucking comfortable doing it. But the whole fact that he would do it from the get-go is fucking nuts. So that's another what the fuck. So he's an asshole for doing it. Another what the fuck, though. Imagine, guys, if you guys were the ones that were fucking stuck waking up in a fucking coffin like that. Had to let that one sink in a little bit. Okay, but again, so you wake up in a fucking coffin. How would you not be freaking fucking balls? So out of all these situations, which one would you rather be? The idiot who fucking, of course not the guy who drugged up his wife and buried her, by the way. But would you rather be the funeral goers, like not knowing what the fuck is going on? You definitely don't want to be homegirl opening your eyes and just, fuck, if she was claustrophobic, the whole freaking ball scenario is just freaky as fuck. So I thought that was gnarly. That was kind of interesting. Eric, much props, dude, for that article. I liked that one a lot, dude. All right, and we're going to end it on a little bit of sex facts, I guess, dude. Is a spray-on condom finally coming? Condoms, they're a cheap, effective way of preventing the spread of sexually transmitted diseases. They're also a lot less expensive than raising kids. Touché. I don't have any, by the way. Why screw with a good thing? Because we can put it in a spray can. All right, this is kind of interesting. Or at least that's what Pratt Institute design student Michael Chu one day hopes to achieve with Girl Play, a condom company aimed at bold and daring women. The spray-on condom is a centerpiece in a lover's kit. But Chu one day wants to bring it to the market. It also includes some traditional condoms in neat packaging. Well, at least we get the old with the new, I guess. And a remote that Chu hopes will control the condom's effects and flavors and unclasp a bra. Okay, now homeboy's talking my language, dude. Press a button and bras automatically unzip. I'm in. I thought the condom market needed some refreshing, Chu told PSFK's design blog. Condoms look like those little ramen seasoned packets. They've just been these square things forever. Okay, so I guess he's got a point there. But they work, so fuck it. Why fuck with a good thing? Although it seems like a futuristic idea. Other people have proposed a spray-on condom before. I had no idea about this. A few years ago, German entrepreneur Jens Vinzenz Krauss came close to putting a spray condom on the market. While Chu seems bored with the design of the condom, Krauss felt it was more an issue of public health. By using the penis as a mold for the condom, a spray-on would better fit men with smaller or unusually shaped penises, or if they tip to the left like mine does. The condom fits 100% perfectly, so the safety is much higher than the standard condom, and it feels more natural, Krauss told Time in 2008. He said that he thought of the idea after students and sex educators talked to him about the need for a better fitting condom. He added that as a teenager, he'd also had a hard time finding a condom that was his right size. Okay. TMI, but again, I have a small penis too, so I'll back him up, dude. I don't need much spray going on for me. Krauss's prototype involved a plastic tube that sprayed liquid latex onto the erect penis from all sides. like a car in a car wash. He said that while some men were apprehensive about putting their penis in the tube, the bigger issue was that the latex took 2 to 3 minutes to fully dry. Okay, so you toss a condom on. Everyone knows how to toss a condom on, guys. It doesn't take that long, dude. You know, it's easy to do. You don't really have to tell the chick to hold on maybe fucking 30 seconds, if that. Spray-on condom, like, don't you think it's gonna fucking kill the mood a little bit? Although, I'm still down to try this. I would spray latex fucking on my penis if it was deemed health-worthy, I guess? But I would do it, dude. Okay, for what it's worth, Choose Concept shows the condom emanating from an aerosol spray can like a spray-on bandage. It's not clear that if that's a viable mode of application for a condom. There you go. Cross remained in the condom-making game, but abandoned the spray-on, opted instead to sell condoms of different sizes online. Okay, very cool and very true. Okay, so that one was very cool, I thought. Next one. Cross remained, Chew and Krause did not immediately return request for the comment. So, again, let me know what you guys think on that one as well. All right, guys. Adam, how are you looking? He's looking bored. He's giving me the choking signal. So I think that's time to take a break. So let us know what you guys think of the giant jelly jizz blob. Let us know what you guys think of the waking up in a fucking deathbed. Let us know about the fucking walking dead fucking people. And let us know what you guys think about Crazy Guy, because that was pretty gnarly, dude. Much thanks to you guys. We'll be right back with Comic Talk.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, we are back with Comic Talk. Adam's gonna give a quick thumbs up, dude. This is gonna be quick, dude. Mark Hamill to voice the Joker for Killing Joke adaptation. Everyone loves this fucking news. Anyone who grew up with the Batman the Animated Series cartoon, Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, was the voice of the Joker. So he's been always vocal about, like, fuck, if this ever went down, I would love to do the Joker. It's a fucked up story, dude. There's hints of Joker raping Barbara Gordon, who's Batgirl, and it's just fucking nuts. It's a great story, very violent. He paralyzes her, dude, straight up. So it's a great story. So Adam gives fucking 2 thumbs up. Thank you, man. Xena Warrior Princess rebooted, headed to NBC. How do we feel about that? Lucy Lawless is not going to be in it. I really didn't care for it. Actually, no, I guess it was okay. All right, Adam says semi-okay. Live action, Sword in the Stone in the works. Game of Thrones TV writer attached. So Disney's next live action adaptation looks to be the Sword in the Stone. I loved it the fuck out of the cartoon. It's young King Arthur, dude, Merlin. I love the Knights of the Round Table story anyways. It was a great fucking movie. So I think they can hit a home run with this, dude. Adam? Oh, he gives 1 thumbs up. All right, dude. Next one, Singer says ideas are in play for X-Men/Fantastic Four crossover film. Adam's giving the jack-off fucking signal. Okay, he doesn't like it. Jurassic World sequel gets a release date, and it's going to be June 22nd, 2018. Yeah, Adam's saying fucking thumbs up to Chris Pratt. I love that guy, too. I got a man crush on him. Next one is going to be, this one is weird. This one came out this past week, early in the week. Channing Tatum reportedly planning to leave Gambit. Now, this is just a rumor. He is signed on to be Gambit in the next standalone movie, which comes out 2018, I believe, as well. But that's just a rumor, so take it with a grain of salt. I thought it was worth talking about. Adam, he says he doesn't care either way. Rumor, Jenna Malone set to play iconic DC hero in Batman v Superman. Okay, Jenna Malone's a little fucking haughty anyways. I initially heard a rumor that she was going to be Robin, dude, from The Dark Knight Returns, dude. So I like her as Batgirl. I think she can pull it off too, dude. I'm down with that. Adam gives it a thumbs up. Right on, dude. And that's all we got for comic news that's worth talking about, guys. Okay, This is going to be interesting now, guys. Adam gave me his reviews, so I get to play a little bit now. I read a bunch of shit, and Adam is just too beat from delivering 120 packages today, which I wish I could give that line once in my life. Hey, I'm here to deliver this package. Where do I want to stuff it? Something like that would be cool. But anyways, dude, we read a lot of shit. I'm going to talk very briefly about a lot of these ones. These are the comics that stood out to me the most from last week. I know we've been gone since the 100th episode. So these came out last week. It's Thursday the 30th today. Tomorrow's going to be the 31st. So these are last week's. We have this week's picks. I know the Comical Podcast boys record Thursday, but we don't know if they're going to record. So this is a recap. Magneto was just a great fucking story. It's been great, dude. It starts off with just Magneto, again, amping himself up, dude. He gets help from S.H.I.E.L.D. now to amp up more of his energy, his powers. He's using, it's awesome, there's a sick panel where his blood is like coming out of his body. He's using the iron in his blood to attack and use his blood as weapons to stop the final incursion, which is just fucking gnarly. Like, we see how far Magneto is pushing himself and how much it's fucking him up, the MGH, dude, the mutant growth hormone. And it's kind of like retribution time for him, I guess, because his daughter Polaris Lorna Dane's with him, and she also has power of magnetism. He fucks her up so he can siphon her magnetic energies too. And he's like, I don't know what type of world I'm gonna leave you in, but just know I'm doing this for you. So when she wakes up, she's probably gonna hate him as well. But everyone hates Magneto. It's a typical theme, but I thought it was good, dude. I know the comical boys liked that one. So that one was cool. We're talking about. Next one's going to be Deathstroke number 8. I liked a lot, dude. The art in there is just fucking gorgeous, dude. So Adam spoke about this last month, I believe, where Deathstroke gets a god killer sword. He's on the island of the Amazonians, so he's in Wonder Woman's territory. She finds out, like, what the fuck? This demon we've had tied up or shackled up has been released, and she finds out it's Deathstroke. So it's a nice little scrap between both of them. Again, the art though is killer because it's Tony fucking Daniel. Tony Daniel's art is just amazing. He's co-writing this one as well. It's nicely written, but the action sequences are pretty cool. He's, even though he's getting his ass kicked by Wonder Woman, he's able to talk to her like, dude, I have this fucking sword. I can kill this fucking guy. And the homeboy's name is, some weird fucked up name, Lepitus, I believe. So it was good, nice progression of the story. So I think I liked that more than anything. But again, Tony Daniel art, dude, I grew up on his art anyway, so I loved it. Uncanny X-Men was very bad this week, so I won't talk about that. Magneto was good. We are Robin number 2. I will hit in a... Yeah, actually, let's hit it now, dude, since we're on DC. We're Robin number 2, so it starts off with a young kid. Yeah, this is issue number 2. Number 1, some little kid, orphan kid, who gets tossed around from home to home, comes to a new town, and he starts getting picked on. He's able to fend for himself, but last issue, he ended up in the sewers, and a new batch of Robin-esque crime fighters help him out to save the day or get him out of there. They know that he's had interaction with Batman before, so they have some sort of liking to him now. They help him out. Very cool teamwork you see in this issue. You get the names of a bunch of the characters, but again, they have to be teenagers, dude. 14, 15, 16, no one's older than 18. But just very cool. We see them get out of the sewers finally. Again, teamwork. Once they get out of the sewers, the young kid, our protagonist, he gets knocked out. He has a concussion. He gets knocked out. He gets taken off as the cops come. They all get a text message like, get the fuck out of there, and they leave homeboy out for the most part. So next panel is pretty much the kid waking up and being interrogated by, we don't know who this old gentleman is in glasses. He's like, you're going to help us find these bombs. You kept muttering something about bombs. What the fuck's going on? And he's like, yeah, you know, I don't want to help you. You're the fucking system I fucking hate. And the old man walks out. He's like, don't worry about it. Fucking you decide when you're ready to help us. He walks out. He's gone for like fucking 8 fucking days, dude. The kid finally realizes, like, hey, that guy is not coming back. So he finally goes to the door. The door was unlocked the whole time. They're in a warehouse. It's just like a fucking little bin they were keeping him in, and like a storage unit. So he realizes, like, okay, well, shit. What the fuck's going on? There's a motorcycle and some gear left out for him with his cell phone. And it's like, meet us fucking at this spot. All the other Robin-esque kids are there, and they go to fight crime, and they're looking for the bombs now that the head of this facility, or this underground this underground sewers that homeboy was talking about. They want to destroy Gotham in that way. So I liked it a lot, dude. We get introduced to some new old man and perhaps a new villain, which is kind of cool. Apparently the guy who's in charge of the sewers is not the one in charge, so we should probably be worried about the other guy. Next one's gonna be All New Hawkeye number 4. Was great, dude. Jeff Lemire, his writing, I just love anyways. And Ramon Perez is the artist, and the art's really good. It kind of looks, some panels, he does it where the current modern panels are, when it's real time, what's going on right now, he uses like a Ja type art, which if you're reading Hawkeye, you know, the current Fraction one, it's kind of like very similar to that. But when they go into the panels where it's about young Clint Barton and his brother Buddy growing up as kids, there's this painting style he uses that is fucking gorgeous. The color schemes are great. The colors, the inks are gorgeous too. It goes more into how they were raised as kids, literally in a circus, because they were, again, going from home to home, and they didn't feel any love from anyone. So, and how to survive, and how to steal. And, you know, they're teaching Clint how to use a bow and arrow. They're teaching his brother how to be a thief. So, very cool. And those panels are gorgeous as well. And the current panels that are going right now, that storyline, are the three kids from issue number 1 that they saved. They have, like, telekinetic powers. It looks like they're like a mind hive type of deal. But these three kids are falling for, I guess, the attention of Kate Bishop, which is also Hawkeye. And it's cool because, like, they have a liking and a fondness for her. They kind of could care less about Clint Barton, but it's cool because him going through that as an adult, taking care of these kids, he's able to, like, revisit what he went through as a kid. So it's very cool panel play. The art is great. So that's all I'm going to talk about on that one. I loved it a lot. Again, the art's fucking killer, so check that one, guys. Next one's going to be, let's do Future Imperfect number 3. Was just interesting because it's Maestro. He's in charge of his Battle World section. So again, Secret Wars tie-in. Last issue of the Thing, who's in charge of the Resistance to take out Maestro, which is a hulked up version of the Hulk, almighty smart guy. But he's the one who literally has taken out all the heroes. And so it's, this issue starts off with his crew, his Resistance, going after the Thing, which is Thunderbolt Ross, which in this world, he's the Thing as opposed to the Red Hulk. So that was interesting. But the team going after them and literally invading and going into Maestro's, I guess, citadel, his castle, getting in there and finally going to where the Thing should be shackled up. It's like, oh fuck, he's not here. They continue on their mission looking for their number one guy, and they come into a room where it's the Maestro, the Hulk, having dinner with the Thing, and they're like, what the fuck's going on? And Maestro says, have a seat, don't worry, enjoy the food, like, make yourselves comfortable. They're like, no, we don't fucking trust you. And they're about to attack Maestro, and then the Thing says, no, you gotta listen to what he has to say. So the whole conflict, we don't know before, but they give off one very special or important point, which is, you know, Maestro says, you guys want me out of this domain, that's cool. You know what, I want to get the fuck out of here. And they're like, well, how the fuck is that gonna happen? It's like, dude, once I leave here, I'm gonna leave the Thing in charge. I don't care what the fuck you guys do. And they all ask him, so what the hell do you want to do? I want to take out God Doom. So Maestro has plans of his own. I liked it a lot. It was cool just to see the villain, and the Hulk is the villain as Maestro, but I liked it. It was cool. All right, sorry, I had to take a swig of that, guys. Adam, you like that one too, right? Okay, cool. Next one's going to be Punisher number 20, dude. It's Frank Castle, dude, just finishing his job into Crit. He's on the solo suicide, I'm going to fuck you up mission. I loved it, dude. He's solo out there, kind of like what I'm doing right now, getting shot up, getting banged up, getting beat up. He goes into, again, a citadel where the head guy is at, and he needs to do his job, dude. So again, final incursion type of deal, and he's literally takes out a whole crew, dude. We don't know how many guys, but he's just on a tear, and some guy comes out with a Gatling gun. He's the guy in charge, and he starts mowing down fucking Punisher. He's barely able to survive, but Punisher has a sniper rifle. He fucking starts fucking tapping him, and he's able to take out the dude. So, like, the past issues of Punisher before, we see Frank Castle literally hold himself up, excuse me, on the wall, and trying to continue on his mission. Very cool. He throws a smoke fucking bomb grenade down. He's like on a second, third, we don't even know how high this fucker is. And he's about to die, it looks like. Like his eyes are fucking rolling to the back of his head. And once he throws that smoke grenade, he's like, he pulls himself up from sitting down. And he's like, I need some air. Homeboy jumps out a fucking window. And once he lands, we don't know, maybe three stories. Granted, in dirt. Granted, nobody needs to jump that fucking height, being shot up as much as he had already. And once he lands, you know, there's a bunch of guys after him. And he's able to just fucking start sniping, beat up, banged up. And his whole thing was, he knew the incursions were going to happen. So he says something, two things in the beginning, and at the end he's like, I'm here for punishment. So he knows he's going to die anyways. And his vision of dying a profound death, it seems like, is doing this, not just for himself to save people, but because he wants to feel the pain, just the fucking pain. And I kind of get where he's coming from, because sometimes I like to revisit old pain too. It sounds lame, it sounds cheesy, but it's something, it's kind of healthy, you know you're a better person when it doesn't affect you the way it used to. Although I'm not gonna go fucking doing this suicide mission, although this show tonight is a suicide mission. But very nicely written. Nathan Edmondson, Mitch Gerards is the artist. I've been blowing this fucking comic for a while now, since probably it first started, and I love it, dude. So it's great. It was one of my books of the week. I think book of the week for me, though, would have to be Weird World number 2. This one was really good. The art is fantastic, dude, and it's the writer is Jason Aaron. I love it. Think of it as a Conan-esque type dude. He who's wandering the land. I spoke about issue number 1 a month ago. Issue number 2 seems like it took forever to come out. But Homeboy was on a dragon last issue. They got captured by literally underwater apes. They get captured. Whatever they did with the dragon, they don't show right away. They send, I believe it's Karnak? Archon, shackled up his arms behind his back, shackled, chained into the dungeon. And Akron's like, fuck, I need to get the fuck out of here. He's like banging his head against the wall, and he hears a cell. Somebody tells him, dude, you're not going to get out that way. He's like, who the fuck are you? He's like, dude, I've tried breaking out of here. I have broken out of here. It's like, you're just going to get sold as a slave just like everyone else has. And he's like, well, who are you? And he's like, his name was fucking Warborn, I believe. Yeah, which was kind of cool. Because once they show the dude, he's like, I can't get out of here alone. Like, I can get out of here, but to escape off of this place, yeah, I need help. He's like, if you help me find my master, you know, I can get you the fuck out of here. We can split ways. So Akron fucking agrees. They break out. A very cool prison break scene, again, because of the art was just fucking nuts, amazing. It's the artist who did what's his name, dude? Sorry, guys. Adam, can you look that up for me? Adam, look that up. Okay, it's the artist who was doing Electra. Nobody read that. I was the only one reading it, I know. The art was amazing on it, and the story was just convoluted as fuck. But this one is issue number 2. You can get it right away, dude. It's a cool story. So they break out, and they're literally fighting these underwater apes in like fucking astronaut masks underwater. Apes need to breathe, of course. Anyway, so very cool. They are able to break out, and you just kind of bloody, dude. Like they escape the water, and once Akron fucking pops up, you see nothing but bloody fucking water, which is pretty nuts. Like they've been slain. These guys have been doing work. So Akron sees his map underwater, and he tells Warborn, like, "Hey, dude, I need to go back. I need to get my fucking map." And Warborn tells him, "Dude, I have another map. I've been wandering this world longer than anybody." He's like, "I will give you my map if you go help me release my partner in crime, my buddy, or my master. And, you know, you can have my map. You can do whatever the hell you want with it." So now they have to break into the Baron's world, or Citadel Castle, is the Enchantress. So they're able to break in. The apes sent the dragon there as a gift. She's trying to tame this dragon that just, again, art is amazing on it. Very nice. And Enchantress ends up taking off, again, trying to tame the dragon. So she books it. And that's when Akron and Warborn show up. Now, they break in, and they're still fucking slaying people. There's, like, a river of fucking lava they have to cross. They're able to do it. They're backing each other up, which they work nicely together. And Warborn is, like, this fucking dude. Like a diamond type of creature, tall, looks like, I don't know, dude, just cool-looking character, but, like, crystal skin, kind of. So he's able to walk through the lava lake, you know, and then he shoots a spear to get Akron across, which is pretty cool. And then once they get into the castle, they're looking for, again, the master. And Akron's like, "Dude, this isn't the dungeon." He's like, "Oh, yeah, we're not going to go to the dungeon to find my friend. We're going to go to the trophy room." So there's a bunch of jewels, gems, everything. Akron's like, "What the fuck, dude? Like, you're here for the fucking money. This is a fucking, this was a bust to get fucking cash, not your boy." He opens up some bag, dude, Warborn. He opens up some bag, and they're crystals, but they look like his skin, his texture. So he's like, "No, this is my friend," and then he gives the name of his friend. And right when they get to that point, it's that's when a bunch of apes come out, and even fucking toad looking creatures, but reptilian creatures. And it was kind of like a setup. It was kind of cool. I liked it a lot. The art was great. Jason Aaron is just a great writer. Anyways, I don't know anything about these characters, but I do like them already. It's issue number 2. It was a book of the week for me, dude. Art I'm loving. And now that he has a great writer like Jason Aaron on board with this, something like this, we're only going to get like maybe 4 issues, 5 issues tops, but it was great. I loved it. So let me know what you guys think. All right, guys, Adam is giving me the choke signal again. All right, you guys can find my boy Adam at Mem the Beaner on Instagram and Twitter. You guys can find me at For the Villain on Twitter. You guys can find me at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. Oh my gosh. All right, dude, this was supposed to be the shortest show ever, and that was fun doing, and I needed to get it out of my system. So I hope you guys liked it. Let me know how terrible it was, please, and make sure you guys tag at Mem the Beaner in it too, so he can know that this should never happen again. So yeah, we're going to name this giant gelatinous bag of... Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks again for the listen. You guys can find us at thecomicsyndicate.com. You guys can go download us on iTunes and Stitcher. Subscribe to us. Leave some ratings. Leave some stars. Share the podcast. We know we're a gnarly fucking podcast. We prefer it that way anyways. We love doing this, obviously. And we're back, dude. So, yeah, we're going to have some fun. We're going to keep on having fun, dude. So, much love, guys. All right. We'll catch you guys next week. Adam. All right. Peace out.